Blog Talk Radio.
To turn tonight to the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I want to talk tonight about the hard-headed preacher. The hard-headed preacher. How tragic it is when a man becomes hard-headed when it comes to the commands of God. It's bad to be hard-headed. For all of my life, I've often heard my mother make the statement when it comes to one of my brothers.
Not me now.
A hard head makes a soft behind. It's a dangerous thing to be hard-headed. The Bible plainly demonstrates the tragedy, the results of hard-headed people. Adam was really hard-headed. The Bible said he didn't hearken to him, he hearkened to his wife. And he really was hard-headed. He didn't listen to what God had to say. And how he paid a tragic price. Some theologians said that when Cain and Abel were walking along with Adam and Eve, they passed by the Garden of Eden. And they saw that beautiful place. And one of the boys asked Adam, said, "Dad, did we used to live there?" And Adam responded, "Yes, until your mama and I ate ourselves out of a home." Being hard-headed. Saul walked like a king. Talked like a king. He acted like a king. But he allowed his power to go to his head and became jealous of a little boy named David. And he would not obey God when God gave him commands. He became hard-headed. Israel ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Not because they were lost, not because God didn't want them there until 40 years, but they were just hard-headed. They were rebellious. And God said, "I'm just going to allow a generation to die off before I lead them into the promised land," and even getting in the promised land. The only reason why Israel ended up divided and lost all that they had and now been scattered all over the world because God called them stiff-necked, rebellious people, hard-headed, half-baked, cooked on one side, raw on the other side. God even called them a backsliding heifer. I didn't call you no heifer now. That's what the Bible says. A heifer is a young cow kicking back. Don't want to obey. Hard-headed. And I'm afraid that's what's tearing up the church today. Not unsaved people. What's keeping the church from growing is hard-headed believers. The only reason why the tithe and offering is not coming in. Not because some of you all don't have it. You just hard-headed. Nah, I didn't get no amen. And it's a dangerous thing to be hard-headed. And in our text tonight, we're dealing with a hard-headed preacher. Did you say preacher? Yes, preacher. He paid a great price because those who know God and don't do his will get whipped with many stripes. God's going to really judge the believers who know better and refuse to obey. I didn't come here to play with you tonight. I come here to let you know that could it be that we're suffering today because of your head being so hard? Could it be that you don't have the money you need because you didn't know how to act when you had money? could it be that some things are happening to you as a result of your disobedient, hard-headed spirit? Could it be that your wife didn't leave you because you didn't act right, but you just had a hard head? Could it be your husband left you not because you looked bad, but you just got a hard head? Somebody say, help me, Jesus. A hard head can get you in trouble. And that's what happened to the man, Jonah. He was not a hard-headed unbeliever, but he was a hard-headed believer. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Now that's very good in itself. There's some good things I have to say about this preacher. Number one, he was called. It didn't say a song came to him. It didn't say another person came to him. You know, a lot of folk been called to preach by the wife. You got an anointing on you. That doesn't mean you're a preacher. Some folk been called by somebody in the church that told them they got a head like a preacher. What does a preacher's head look like? Some people been called by the mother, called by church members. But you better make sure the word of the Lord came. See, some folk went and some were sent. And that's one thing I got to say about Jonah. He was called by the Lord. He wasn't called by other people. He was called by God. And another thing I like about Jonah was a good preacher. In fact, Jonah was a sure enough good preacher. I don't know nobody who can go in a city and preach the same sermon. I call it a month's notice. The same sermon and make the whole city repent and make the king repent. You got to admit that man could hoop. And the reason why I said he could hoop, because the Bible said Jonah went there and cried unto Nineveh. He didn't go there lecturing. He didn't go there speaking. He cried. I believe Jonah ran way back and pulled that thing. And that's what a whale belly will do for you. It'll make you preach. All you folk that can't preach, go in a whale's belly. And it will make you preach. And I have to admit, Jonah was somebody's preacher, because he converted a whole city. So the Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise and go to that great city called Nineveh and cry out against that city. Now, there were several reasons why Jonah didn't want to go. You got to understand why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why Jonah was a hard-headed man. Well, number one, you need to understand something about Nineveh. He did not want to go to Nineveh because of the influence of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And these people in Nineveh were vicious, cruel people. Let me tell you something. The Bible called it a great city. Because you have to understand, when God say a great city, it has to be a great city. Nineveh had 350 towers around it. Nineveh had walls that were 120 feet tall. And they were so wide that you could put three chariots on top of the wall. That was pretty wide. And they were extremely thick. Nineveh had plush gardens in Nineveh. For Nineveh was a rich city. It was a great commerce place. Nineveh was known for gold. Nineveh was known for silver. Nineveh was known for its fine buildings and its walls that terrified the enemy. Nineveh remind me of the great city of Babylon. Had walls that terrified the enemy. But not only was Nineveh a rich commerce place, Nineveh was a wicked place. When people came from Nineveh to your city, they would burn up all the trees so that you couldn't rebuild the city. In the city of Nineveh, they would stop up all the wells so you couldn't have no water when they left. When Nineveh came in, the Assyrians came in your city, they would fillet your body. They would take your skin and peel it off and use your skin for decoration. Nineveh, the people from Nineveh, when they would take you and fillet you, they would take your skull and wash it off and hang your skull up in their house for decoration. When Nineveh came to the city, they would take all the babies and line them up in the street while the parents stand and watch and run over all the babies with their chariot wheels. That's how mean people were in Nineveh. When Nineveh came and conquered their enemies, they would take the blood of the soldiers and mix it with the wine and celebrate and drink wine with human blood in it. And said, that tastes sure enough good. That's just how mean people were in Nineveh. When Nineveh came in, it meant trouble in your city. They would take some soldiers and cut off their toes, and cut off their fingers, and cut off their ears, and cut off their nose. They would take the king and drag him all through the streets and then behead him. The officials in the city, they would take crosses and make them sharp at the top and stick the pole up into your bow and hang you up on the street for the birds and the fire to come and eat up your flesh. I'm talking about Nineveh. And when you think about how mean people were in Nineveh, now you know why Jonah didn't want to go. In fact, if God had to call me to go to Nineveh, I think I would have put on a fast. I think I would have prayed a little while too. I don't know. I probably would have tried going somewhere else. Because you see, when you know the history of Nineveh, you can understand why Jonah didn't want to go. Because Jonah was scared to go to Nineveh. Jonah knew if he had not succeeded in preaching, they would have murdered him in Nineveh. And another reason why Jonah did not go to Nineveh, because Nineveh, the Assyrians, were the enemies of Jews. They were the enemies of the Hebrews. And he did not want them to be saved. He felt that God should have murdered the people in Nineveh because of the cruelty, because they were heathen, because they were ungodly. He just felt that he shouldn't have gone there because they were his enemies. And I just need to throw this in for free. That's just the way some church folk are. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some folk, when they get to heaven, they want to move on the other side of town when they see you. Some folk are so mad with you, they don't want to see you blessed. Do you know, some folk hate to see you have a new car. Some folk hate to see you got a new job. Some folk don't want to see you blessed. And sometimes people won't share things with you because they don't want to see you overcome. And you got to understand, Jonah did not want Nineveh to get saved because they were his enemies. But God is teaching Jonah that sometimes you got to run back to the folk you running from. See, Moses, God sent Moses back to his enemies. I like to say Moses left as a fugitive and went back as a prosecuting attorney. God said, go back to your enemies. You see, you got to love your enemies. You know why God wants you to love your enemies? Because it worries them to death. It's hard for enemies to see you loving them when they know they ain't been treating you wrong. It's hard for folk to love, to understand your love when they've been lying on you and you hug them in Jesus' name. It's hard for your enemies to understand you when they've been pulling you down and you building them up. It's hard for folk to fight you back when you've been kind to them. So that's why you ought to love your enemies. And another reason why you ought to love your enemy, because the more they seem to kick you in the back, the further you keep being in front of them. You can't kick a man in the back and he's behind you. Every time your enemy kicks you forward, they're pushing you where God wants you to be. You got to love your enemy, because when you love your enemies, God steps in and make your enemies make peace with you. When you love your enemies, God will prepare a table not in the absence of them, but God will put food on your table in the presence of them. When you love your enemies, you're letting God fight your battle. So God was telling Jonah, love your enemies, for the battle is the Lord. So Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't love the people in Nineveh. And then another reason why Jonah didn't want to go, but because he knew God was a God of mercy. He says it in the text. He said, I didn't want to go because I knew you would spare your mercy. You see, that's what we need to know about God. I don't care what people do to you, God still got the last word. And God still got mercy. I find out some folk do stuff to you because they just don't know no better. You'd be surprised to know how ignorant some people are to your situation. Am I right about that? So Jonah didn't understand that some things about God's mercy, but yet he did know that God was a forgiving God. He knew if he had preached and Nineveh got on their knees, God was going to spare the city. And he didn't want to go there and preach because he didn't want them delivered. You know, some folk are praying, and if some folk had their way, they put a tornado over your house and the sun over there. But aren't you glad God is not like me? It's just like an old slave that had escaped the plantation, and they caught up with John and they brought him before the judge, and old John was shaking. The judge looked at John and said, John, what you shaking for? I'm going to give you justice. John said, that's what's worrying me. I don't need no justice right now. I need mercy. Some of us right now, you're in a situation you don't need nothing but mercy. So Jonah knew God was a God of mercy. Now let's look a little further at Jonah. The Bible says that's why he didn't want to go. But let's see how he became hard-headed and messed up. Number one, Jonah bought a ticket going to Tarshish. That is, he was trying to go somewhere else, do his own thing. He's not the only Jonah in the house tonight. There are a whole lot of folk, when they don't want to do what they're supposed to do, always getting on a ship going to Tarshish. When young people sit around lazy and don't want to go to school, you get on the ship going to Tarshish. Talking about, I can't find no money, when you should be looking for a grant. When a man don't want to pay his bills, he get on a ship going to Tarshish and won't go find no job. When a woman don't want to cook,
She get on a ship going to Tasha, saying there's nothing in the house to cook. When choir members don't want to come to choir rehearsal, they get on a ship going to Tasha, talking about I don't have a ride. But downtown everywhere paying your bill. I'm talking about when you don't want to do what you need to do, you can always find a ship going to Tasha. And I want to throw this in for free, in the strange, that when Jonah wanted to get a ship going to Tasha, a ship was available. Ships didn't even go out but once or twice a year. How come the ship will happen to be available when Jonah wanted to run? Because when the devil see you trying to get out the will of God, he'll always give you a ship. You better watch it when the devil provide you a ship. He's trying to fix it so you can run away from God. So Jonah got the money and paid his way. That's the next thing about Jonah. The Bible said, and he paid his way. Now that's good and bad. He didn't try to slip on the ship, so he had to have been pretty good. He did pay his way. But the bad thing about it, he paid his way to get on a ship. That is to say, when you want to do what you want to do, you always got money for it. You know, Pastor, folk always crying about I'm broke. Always crying about I don't have no money. But I done found out when folk want to do something and they want to sure enough do it, they come up with money from a mattress. They come up with money from a hole. I don't know how we come up with that money. But I find out when folk crying about I don't have no money, you let somebody come to town that they want to see. And they'll come up with that money. You let somebody come to town wiggling and half naked down at the Fox Theater, we'll find that money to go watch somebody walking around with no clothes on. I find out, I'm going to bring it home now. Don't get mad at me. You claim you don't have no money, but I can't even get no gas because you're in that lottery line. I knew I hit a nail there. Somebody already scratching. Can't pay your bills? And I ain't never understood these folk right here on Session 8 talking about I don't have nothing, and every one of them got a cell phone. Don't even have modern fabric somewhere texting. You find money to do whatever you want to do. And Jonah had the money to run from God. And he paid his way. Sin always costs you. Whenever you run from God, you got to pay your way. When you run off with somebody's wife and go where you don't have no business going, you got to pay for that hotel. Look at the name and say, uh-oh. Sin will cost you gas. Sin gonna cost you your rent money. Sin gonna cost you grocery money. Anytime you get out of the will of God, it'll cost you your health. It'll cost you your mind. Sin is expensive. Look at somebody and tell you, it costs to sin. Jonah had to pay his way. And then the next thing, when your man leave God, every step Jonah made, he went down. Every time you leave God, you go down. Look at all these downs Jonah had. Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah got a ticket and went down. It went down.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, this is Tops Live Radio Broadcast. Make sure to go to www.theordinarypeoplesociety.org. And if you want to be a member, it's $30 a year. And if you are incarcerated, you can join for free. I'm getting ready to end today's broadcast, but I'm going to go to the phone lines. And I think we might have Chaplain Daniels on the phone. Is that you, Chaplain?
That's me, my friend.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
So what do you think of? Oh, yeah, I can hear you. So what do you think about those hard-headed believers destroying what's supposed to be the house of God?
Yeah, for the say, for the grace of God, there go we too. That's a powerful sermon. I heard it before. You broadcasted it before. Yeah, each time I hear it, I hear something different. I recall when Jesus was leading the sheep, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, and you probably heard this one too. And the little lamb kept running around all crazy. You know, he wanted to go this way and that way. You know, he didn't want to go where Jesus was leading. So the shepherd broke the lamb leg, you know, broke the lamb leg and set it and carried the lamb wherever he went. And there was a bond. You had to forget that noise in the background. It's a thunderstorm. And he carried him. And a little lamb, you know, he got to know the shepherd. And so finally when the leg healed, the shepherd placed him down on the ground. And you could not get that lamb to go nowhere far from the shepherd. There was a bond. Sometimes God has to break out, you know, spiritual legs, so to speak, so that we will, you know, in turn follow him. And there's another scenario. You know, we've got too many people, so-called shepherds or sub-shepherds. They're not leading the sheep. They're herding the sheep. You know, when you heard people to be butchered, but when you lead the sheep, it's something different. So, you know, we got too many people behind the sheep, you know, herding them to build a bigger building, herding them to, I'm going to say it, to buy a jet. Hurting them to build a bigger building. They're hurting them. And instead of leading them. And so you got, you know, the butcher hurting and the shepherd leading. That's all I have. I know you got to go. How's the weather down there?
Oh, it's nice and hot, hitting close to triple digits and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't know. I got AC all through the house now. So, you know, last 6 years I've been here, I've only had one unit. It didn't work that good, but I didn't really have a need for it because I stay in a real shaded area. So, a fan in the window on the shaded side did fine for me, but. But I got an air conditioner the other day, and then I messed around and bought a second one, and now I'm going to take that one that wasn't doing all that good and put it all in the far back room. So I got AC and all through the house now.
Well,
that's how God works.
You got that right. He will, and we just got to trust him, and our, you know, our love for him will prevail. Our love for him, he will show us, and that's the key. Like David did, you know, even though, you know, he was a scoundrel, but you know, David had it right when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." See, David did not put the cart before the horse, but now all we want is blessings. I see so much on internet, blessings and blessing. You be blessed here. You come to church to be blessed. Everybody hunting for blessings, and they don't realize that the only proper way to get it is to bless the Lord first, and blessings will automatically follow. But see, they don't know that Satan give out blessings. He give out false blessings, quasi-blessings. You can ask him for a brand new car, he'll give it to you. You can ask him to put you into office, he'll give it to you. Yeah, but you will be a prisoner. You will be bound by him. The only true blessing comes from God. So, I mean, we got it all backwards, you know. We should be blessing the Lord with all we got. And when we do that, then, you know, like, you'll have air conditioning through all the house, that kind of thing. So we just should be satisfied, you know, like Paul said, whatever situation, whatever circumstance I find myself in, bear with to be content. And you'll be happy in serving God. You know, we don't have too many servants. We just have a lot of people who want to be big time. And I've learned, God is teaching me every day that that's not the proper way to go.
Oh, yeah. Yep, got to learn every day. And, you know, that's how it goes. But anyway, I'm going to have to get ready to go because I'm going to start going to a Bible study on Tuesday nights now also. Next, with my own Bible study on Wednesday night. So I'm going to go and get prepared for that. Because I love Bible study. And but anyway, I'll catch up with you next time, and hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow.
What are y'all?
It's just a Bible study. Now my church is in Ephesians right now.
Okay.
The other Bible study on Tuesday, I'm not sure what it's going to be about tonight, but last time, 2 weeks ago, it was on engraving images, things of that nature.
Okay.
Things that we learn to accept as a part of our life that we don't need to be accepting. And so I don't know what it's going to be on tonight because this is somebody else. Although they did
I'd like to send you one on the prophets, you know, and from Isaiah to Malachi, and each chapter is summarized. All the way from Isaiah to Malachi. It's brand new. It's going to be brand new when I send it. I got to order some more. And I'll get you on that, and I'll send it to you. So if you ever want to teach that from the prophets, you know you'll have it.
Okay, then. I appreciate that. Yeah, but right now I really got to get out of here because I want to be on time. So I'll catch up with everyone tomorrow. And as I always say, live so God can use you. And if you don't know how to do that, all you have to do is follow the two greatest commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Hallelujah. I'm going to live so God can use me anywhere, Lord. Anytime I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord. Anytime I'm gonna walk so God can use me anywhere, Lord. Anytime I'm gonna walk so God can use me. Oh, I'm gonna talk to God.
next time.